Well, you don't seem real excited. Okay. That's a little over the top. So I realized we have a nursing mom's room back there, and it has one-way glass. So there's a kind of a mirror so I can see myself, and I realized that I look like the most interesting man in the world in this outfit. And I don't normally preach, but when I do, it's at New Life Church. And we're glad you're here. We're glad you're with us online. We're glad to have Robeson Ranch with us online. We're still shut down out there for a bit and hoping to be together again soon. One of the announcements that we should probably make today is we have an online survey that helps us know the condition of our flock. That's what the scriptures encourage the elders to do, and the pastors of a church, to know the condition of the flock. And so in this weird world that we're in now, we meet, some meet here, some meet online, where it's hybrid, and we need help finding out where you are, what's going on. And so if you're watching online, a staff person will post that link for you. Pastor Jeff sent out a family update this week that had it in there as well. So if you'll take it, literally is 3 minutes to fill it out, but it will be a huge help for us if y'all would do that. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 to begin this morning. And we'll be looking at several passages in the New Testament, ending up in Matthew. And we're doing a sermon series. We're talking about the important topic of justice and realizing that in our world there are, believe it or not, there are competing ideas of what it means to be just, what justice is, what's right, what's wrong. And God clearly told us in the Word, we've been studying it for the last couple of weeks, He clearly told us to do justice, to seek justice. And so we want to know what that means and what that looks like. When God says He wants us to do justice, what does that look like? What does God's justice look like? We want to see it done. We want to be a part of doing it in God's way. We don't want to do it in the way that the world suggests we do it. And so that's not always easy. So, for instance, last week we looked at the law in the Old Testament, and we discovered, first and foremost, that justice is absolutely about the rule of law, punishing those who break it so that we might live in a fair and orderly and peaceful and prosperous community. So you have rules and restrictions. But we also saw from the Old Testament that God wants our communities to care for the vulnerable. Okay? He wants us to be involved in the lives of people we go to school with, people we work with, people we live with. He wants us to be generous as we go throughout life. And so if I'm going to be real honest with you this morning, I would have said all of those are important commands from God. All of those are very true and very important, but I would have never placed them in the category of justice, as doing justice. But that's exactly what God does. He says, when we do those things, we are being just. That's a bit shocking to me. And so many folks might hear from a conservative side of things. They will say, yeah, well, that's all well and good, but that's the Old Testament. The church is now God's primary concern. And the church should be concerned with evangelism. Jesus' last statement to us was, go into all the world and what? Preach the good news, right? He didn't say go into all the world and feed the homeless. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news. And so a lot of conservatives would say, listen, so our main focus needs to be evangelism. It's not advocacy. It's not legal obligation. It's not looking after people's rights. We should focus on loving God. We should focus on loving others and being generous and kind to them and telling them how to get to heaven. And so I think Jesus told a parable there that summarizes this for us. And I want you to look with me. It's just one verse, Luke 5, verse 36. He also told them a parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, not only will he tear the new, but also the piece from the new garment will not match the old. So Jesus says to us and to his disciples there, it'd be foolish to mutilate a new garment by tearing from it a piece and using that as a patch to repair an old garment. First of all, patching up the old garment with the new piece not only disfigures the new piece, it's going to look terrible, but the old one's going to become more ragged because the other piece is going to shrink and pull that threadbare garment to pieces anyway. And so what Jesus is saying there, in other words, is that he did not come to patch or mend the law. The law being the old garment. Neither did he come to get rid of the old garment. He said, Matthew 5:17, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And so Jesus fulfilled the law by dying on the cross and paying the penalty for human sin. Or we might say, since we're talking about justice here, that he fulfilled God's demand for justice on that cross. And while he lived and while he ministered here on this earth, Jesus wasn't urging people to get rid of the old garment. He wasn't trying to bring new teaching to patch up empty spots in the law. Jesus wanted us to live with the whole cloth. And so we see Jesus bringing God's grace and God's truth. That's one of my favorite verses about Jesus' incarnation is John 1:14. And John writes this. He says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. So John's description to me is very telling. Notice that Jesus reveals to us about God's love and his faithfulness to God's people, God's love and faithfulness to the world. Jesus shows us God's grace and truth. And I think the order of that list is very important. Grace and truth. Because you see, the Hebrew people knew well God's truth. They had the Bible. They had the law. They had the prophets. They knew God's truth. In fact, their whole religious lives were centered on God's truth. Their whole social structure was centered on God's truth. Their calendar was centered on God's truth. Their feasts, their festivals, what they ate, what they didn't eat. Everything was centered on God's truth. But what they failed to see very often was God's grace. And so Jesus comes and reveals God's grace in truth. Jesus showed them by the incarnation the grace of God. And some would argue, listen, justice and grace don't go together. Justice and grace are like oil and water. But because if you think about it, justice is giving people what they deserve, right? Just desserts. Grace is what we always call unmerited favor, giving benefits that are undeserved. They seem like polar opposites, except that the cross of Jesus reminds us that grace and justice do, in fact, go together. And we saw it last week with the prophets. They showed us that grace and justice go together. I want to read Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. "When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will refuse to look at you. Even if you offer countless prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Pursue justice, correct the oppressor, defend the rights of the fatherless, plead the widow's case." So the prophets, and this is just this is one example of 100 I could have chosen. The prophets saw justice as a heart analysis. It was a sign of what was going on the outward acts of justice showed what was going on inside. Doing justice is a sign of true faith, according to Isaiah right here. And when people involved themselves in religious activities or they prided themselves in their biblical knowledge, but they look the other way, when there was oppression, or they didn't care for the vulnerable in society. Isaiah says their walk with God is not only insufficient, it's actually offensive to God. He says, pray all you want, I'm not going to listen. If you're not going to plead the widow's case, if you're not going to stop doing your evil deeds, if you're not going to learn to do good and pursue justice, pray all you want, but I'm not listening because your heart is not in the right place. And Jesus said the exact same thing when he quoted Isaiah in Matthew 15. He said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So Jesus is especially condemning of the religious leaders of the day. He describes them as wearing long robes and being greeted in the marketplace and being seated in the honored seats at banquets. But then he says, but they devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher judgment. He says elsewhere, he describes them as full of greed and evil, bypassing justice and love of God. So the implications of this are very clear. Justice is not just one more thing we need to add to our religious resume. A lack of justice or not caring about justice, seeing injustice and looking the other way, is a sign that the worshiper's heart is not right with God. Because, listen, if we don't care about what God cares about, that's a problem. If God cares about things we don't care about, that's a problem. And it's a sign that our prayer, that our fasting, that our biblical knowledge, that our church attendance, our religious observance, all of it is about us. It's full of pride. It's full of self. It's a good sign that we just don't understand God's grace and what he's done for us. And so we look at some of these categories that we saw last week in the Old Testament, and we see them carried over into Jesus' ministry. So we saw last week that God desires that his people care for the vulnerable in society. And the reason why he wants us to care for the vulnerable in society is because he cares for them. And so Deuteronomy 10, 17, and 18 is a reminder. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awe-inspiring God, showing no partiality and taking no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the resident alien, giving him food and clothing. So here's those categories of the vulnerable in society, the orphan, the widow, the stranger, the alien that comes in. And God loves them and God cares for them. And so he demands that his people do the same. And so remember, Jesus came to reveal to us grace and truth, God's grace and truth. And so not only does Jesus believe the truth of God, that is that God loves the vulnerable, he shows us that God loves the vulnerable by living it out. And so we saw Jesus express God's grace. We saw grace in the life of Jesus. And so the greatest example of Jesus caring for the vulnerable is the song we just sang about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The whole idea of the incarnation, God leaving heaven to come down here, Paul reminds us, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. Jesus literally moved in with the poor people. So there's no way to imagine the depth of this, but I was thinking of it today as you're getting on the airplane and you have to go through security and you have to take off your shoes now and your belt and empty your pockets and put everything, and you have to get rid of everything. Jesus did that with with some of the divine nature. He's putting it on the conveyor belt and setting it aside, but then when he goes through, he doesn't pick it back up. And he moved from the palace to the slums so that he could be with us and lead us back to the Father. He cares for the vulnerable. So in his life, think about all that he did. He associated with sinners and social pariahs. right? One of the greatest criticisms of Jesus was all the people that he ate dinner with, right? He raised the poor widow of Nain's son from the dead. He showed the greatest respect to the woman that was caught in adultery. He spoke with women in public. Wow. I mean, he eschewed the sexism of his day and spoke with women in public. He resisted the racism of his day when he told the story, and the hero of the story is the Good Samaritan. He claimed that God loves the Gentiles when he preached in his hometown of Nazareth, and by the way, started a riot. He showed concern for the children when his disciples were like, don't waste your time. They've got nothing to offer. He not only healed the lepers, he physically touched them. Years they had gone without human touch. And you think pandemic was bad. Imagine a life of being ostracized, but Jesus laid hands on them and touched them. And he called his disciples to give to the poor. He said to one disciple, sell everything and give it to the poor. So Jesus not only talked the justice talk, he walked the walk. He did it in his life. And when John the Baptist's disciples came to him and they were wondering, maybe, are you the Messiah? Are you not the Messiah? We just need to know. This was Jesus' answer. He didn't give a theological answer. He didn't prove it from the scriptures. He said, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. How do you know I'm the Messiah? Because I'm the one living the life of justice. I'm doing everything that God said we should be doing. Go back to that Isaiah passage. When you spread out your hands in prayer, and I will refuse to look at you, even if you offer countless prayers, I won't listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good, pursue justice, correct the oppressor, defend the rights of the fatherless, plead the widow's case. So Isaiah is reminding us, of course, that when we do justice, it reveals the heart of the person that's doing it. And Jesus carried that out as well. He shared the same sentiment in Matthew chapter 25. If you've got your Bibles, you want to look with me. It's a very famous parable of Jesus, but he shares that same idea that whether or not you're doing justice in your life reveals what's going on in your heart. So it's Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you are accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me, sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? Then he answered them, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous will inherit, the righteous into eternal life. So it was a common task, apparently, of a shepherd to identify and separate sheep and goats from a flock. And so Jesus uses that as an illustration or a picture to depict what it's going to be like on the great day of judgment, when all the nations are gathered and Jesus is on the great judgment seat. And he says, on that day there will be many that believed in him, but will be rejected. And he tells us the difference between the groups. He tells us the difference between the sheep and the goats in verse 40. Because among the sheep, care and concern was shown for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine. That's the difference between the two. Jesus didn't say you were faulty in your theology. Jesus didn't say you didn't believe enough. He said you didn't take care of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine. Now, Jesus doesn't use the word church here. In fact, he uses the word church maybe two or three times in the Gospels. But he's talking about the church here. He's talking about a new community of his disciples, these brothers and sisters of mine. This new community is a church that opens its doors to the poor. It opens its doors to other races. It opens its doors to the powerless in the world, what Simon and Garfunkel might call sat upon, spat upon, and ratted on. That's the church. And the church, this new community of believers, would give food and drink to the hungry. They would invite in the strangers. The Greek word is xenos, foreigner. They would clothe the naked. These are the poorest of the poor, probably the homeless. They would take care of the sick. The Greek verb there is episkopos. It means to oversee or look closely at or give comprehensive care to the sick. He says this new community would visit prisoners, giving them comfort and encouragement. That's the kind of community that God wanted in Israel. We talked about last week when we looked at the Old Testament, and now that's the community that he wants in the church. A community that is generous and caring and opens its homes to outsiders and gives finances and provides medical treatment and provides shelter and provides advocacy and provides active love and support and friendship. Now, I think it's important that you understand what Jesus is describing here is not a government doing these things. This is the body of Christ. This is what we're doing for the least of these, our brothers and sisters. And also, super important that you realize that doing these acts of justice is not a way to gain salvation. You're not earning your way into heaven. You're not trying to impress the shepherd or prove that you're a sheep rather than a goat. It's simply a sign that you, because you're doing justice, it's a sign that you have true faith already. The same what Isaiah was saying. Because Jesus tells us that when we do this for the least of these brothers and sisters, we are taking care of the Lord himself. When we embrace those who need our help, we embrace Jesus. When we ignore people that need our help, we ignore Jesus. And you ask, okay, well, can such a crazy, radical idea actually work? In our fallen world, with our sinful nature, can something that crazy and radical work? Well, all you got to do is flip a couple pages over to the book of Acts. And you will see that at the very beginning, when the Spirit of God fell on this community, this new community that Jesus had created, one of the first things you'll see is a very diverse list of foreign countries and races from which this new community came. It's no longer monolithic. It is radically diverse. And you'll see them from the very beginning opening up their homes to each other. You will see them even in the next couple chapters selling their property to meet the needs of their friends in the community. They're not forced to sell it. The government doesn't take the property and distribute it to someone else. They choose to because we have friends that are in need. You'll see the ranks of this new community swelling with a few educated, powerful people, but a lot and lot and lots of humble, uneducated slaves, former slaves, lower class. And the community was so different from everything else in the rest of the world that Luke tells us that they grew in favor with all the people. Everybody in Rome, everybody in Jerusalem began to take notice this community and how they care for each other. And eventually, Luke reports that there was not a needy person among them. So I'm suggesting today that the same Holy Spirit that empowered the great grace that was on that early church, that same Holy Spirit is here this morning. And he can empower our church in the exact same way. If you can imagine a church that's able to move past religion and actually change the world, what an almost inconceivable idea, except that that's exactly what God wants. That's exactly what he's called us. Last week, we read in Deuteronomy that God gave Israel laws of justice so that the world would see Israel and they would recognize God's wisdom. And they would say, wow, what a just place. That God that gave them those laws must be a wise and just God and be attracted to that wise and just God. Well, God has done the same thing for the church. And I want to get back to the place where the church grows in favor with all the people. I mean, there was a time in our country when the church stood in favor of all the people, but no longer. But we will get back there, and we will show the world what true justice, what God's justice really looks like. And so we're going to talk about that next week. How do we do it? How do we practice it? And I just want you to know how excited I am that we have people in our church that are involved in justice. When we have people in our church that are involved in rescuing women from sex trafficking. When we have people in our church that are involved in rescuing children from abortion. We have people in our church that at their own expense provide bags full of soap and deodorant and shampoo to give away to the homeless. It matters to us because it matters to God. And I want to lead the way in our city and in our state. Let's pray together as we close. God, thank you for grace in truth. Thank you for revealing God's grace to us in your Son. And so we want to be like him, the way that he lived a just life, Lord, and faced consequences for it. But he did what was right because it was right. And that's the way we want to live our lives. We want to follow you, not the world. We want to follow you. We want to find out what you say is just, what you say is right, and we want to live that way throughout our lives. And so I'm asking that we would have your heart, that our doing of justice simply reveals that we have your heart. We value what you value. We value who you value, and we live the way you tell us to live. And so, Lord, I'm praying that this new community that you've created, we call the church, would live up to our predecessors' example in the book of Acts. That we would come to a place where we stand in favor of the entire community. We come to a place that there's no needy person among us. We come to a place where there is a great grace of God on the church. We ask that you would do that, Lord, in us. Start with me, Lord, where my heart does not value what you value. I ask, God, that you would begin to change it. You would show me. You would convict me. When I tend to treat others less than I should, convict me, show me, transform me. Give me your heart, I pray. Lord, we want justice in the world. Lead us and help us lead others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We would love to pray for you. If there's anything going on in your life that we can pray about, altars are open, and if you're online, you can call 222-2627. We have prayer ministers that are waiting for you there. Thanks for joining us online. Thanks for being here this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a great week.